So Rabbi, let's roll up our sleeves. Let's get started. Here we are. Mem Bava Kama and Vava Vamanal. Shoshan Rabbi is a part of an Imsa Uber Batsiza. Open initial of the parrot. Ashar attacks the Paran. We come to the scene of the Nezek. It was clear to the Edom that it was this Shar that attacked that Parah. But it's what's unclear, and it's clear once we get there, that not only was the Parah damaged, the Parah, the cow, was injured, but it lost its fetus. It had been pregnant, and it lost its fetus. But we don't know, and you do it, negacha yalda, emishin negacha yalda. We don't know whether it lost the fetus in advance of the attack, and the Baal HaShar is not responsible for the fetus, only for the nezek to the mother, or if it lost the fetus after the attack, and the fetus is part of the victim. So we don't know whether the Baal HaShar has to pay only for the nezek to the parah, that would be chatzi nezek and the value on the depreciation of the parah, or does he have to pay that as well as chatzi nezek on the nezek to the vlad, to the fetus. So the Mishnah says, well, mishalem chatzi nezek lepara. We know that he's obligated on the chatzi nezek to the para, so there he has to pay. And since we're not sure whether or not he's chayv the chatzi nezek to the vlad, he has to pay revia nezek levlad. He pays a quarter, meaning he might be chayv half, so we make him pay half of what he might be chayv, which is a quarter of the nezek. And the Gemara says right away, Amar Rav Yehuda Mishmuel, Zu Divrei Simchus. This Mishnah is presenting the opinion of Simchus. Simchus is one of the great Tanaim at Atana, one of the great Talmidim of Rabbi Meir. We don't hear his name that often, but when we do, it tends to be very famous and impactful, and often very, very creative, very original. So Simchus is of the opinion that if we're not sure who owns this money, I'm suing you. I say you owe me money. You say no. So Simchas, that's what it sounds like. Simchas says, we're not sure what the din is. We don't know whether I owe you chatzi nezek or not. Let's say the damage to the fetus was $100. So I say, your shor caused the damage to my fetus. You owe me chatzi nezek, $50. And you say, nothing. So Simchas says, a machlekes whether you owe me 50 or 0. We split it down the middle, 25. Right? Revia Nezek. So Shmuel, the Amora, says this Mishnah is presenting the opinion of Simchus, but that's not anywhere near unanimous opinion. As a matter of fact, the vast majority of Tanaim disagree. The vast majority of Tanaim say it's not about, we don't say Yachloku when we're not sure who owns the money. Chachamim Omrim, Ze Kal Gadol Bedin, Hamoti Mechavero Olav Harai. Chachamim say no. This is a great and important principle in halacha, in din, meaning in dinim amanus in particular, that hamotzi mechavero olav harai. And if I'm trying to extract money from you, the extractor, the motzi, so I'm the motzi and you're the mochzak. And I claim that you owe me unpaid wages. I claim that you owe me a loan that was never repaid. I claim that you smashed my windows. Or whatever, for whatever reason, I claim that you bought merchandise on credit, you never paid it back. Whatever it is, I claim that you owe me money, and you say no. So I'm the one who's motzi from you. I'm trying to get it out of you. So you're the muchzuk, I'm the motzi. I'm motzi mechaver all of our life. I'm the motzi, so the burden of proof, the need to bring a raya, is on me. We think that on me is like a modern expression. Oh, it's on me, it's on you. That's exactly what the Tanaim use. All of Araya. The Raya is on him. It's on me to bring a Raya. Simchus apparently disagrees. Simchus thinks that, no. It's a little surprising. I claim that you owe me money, and you say no. So Simchus says, just split it down the middle. Sounds a little shocking, frightening to think how that would apply in real life. So the truth is, Simchus does not always apply. That maybe we'll take up at some point. Simchus doesn't always apply, but at least in some cases, Simchus says, if there's a Safik Maman, you split it, and the Chachamim say, no. Safik Maman, the Muchzuk wins, unless the Motzi can marshal enough proof. Unless the Motzi has marshaled enough proof If it remains a suffix, then the mukhsar wins. No. Right, so that's what I was just saying. That's what I was just saying. It cannot be, even before you look at the sugya above Mesiya Daf Kuf, it can't be that any time there's a Safek Mammon, I could rob you blind. I'll just make up claims day and night, and I always get 50%. Oh, Dakin, hey, Dakin, you were in my store yesterday, you bought $1,000 worth of merchandise. Hand it over. He's like, you don't have a store. I lent you $1,000 yesterday. You owe me money. So clearly, the sugya of Avitiyah Daf Kuf and the important Tosfos in a couple blot into Parakheska Sabbat in the third parak of the Basra develops the idea. Clearly, Sumcha is not talking about all cases of Safek Mammon. There has to be some, it's merely my word, for this way. If it's merely my word, it's just that I said that you did your chachter owes me $1,000. Simchas would not say Yachloku. There has to be more to my claim than just my say-so. What exactly needs to be is a good question, which is an important discussion, not for today. But in this case, in the Mishnah, it's more than just I claim that there was some accident. There were Eidim who saw an accident. We're not sure about the details. Simchas says Yachloku, but we say no, I'm Motzi Mechaver Olavaraya. And that, the Gemara is sensitive to the language of Chachamim. The Gemara is sensitive to the language of the Chachamim. They didn't just say Hamotzi Mechaver Olavaraya. They gave us an introduction. You know, some Rebbeim just say their Chiddush. Some day Rebbe was like very, very dramatic. Everything is like the biggest Chiddush. So by the Tanaim, not everything is the biggest Chiddush. Everyone's in a long while. Here, all of a sudden they say, Zekal Gal Bedin. Tanam don't usually talk like that. They just tell you, here's the din. Then you usually give you a preface. The Gemara says, my high, all of a sudden here, Amotzi Mechavel Haraya gets a special preface that this is a great principle. The Gemara goes on to explain, that this is telling me the Amotzi Mechavel Haraya, that's really very, very, it's a very robust, powerful principle. Why do you have to say that? This is a big cloud. Just say, I'm not to make it over. Where it says, no, it's trich. You know what it's telling me? It's telling me that it applies in more cases than you might have imagined. Gadol, the Gemara stand, means broad. Implies in lots of powerful and therefore broad. What are the cases where surprisingly Hamotzi Mechaver Olavaraya applies? It's just Gemara says two things. Number one, Nizek Omer Bari Umazik Omer Shema Hamotzi Mechaver Olavaraya. It's a davar pasha that if I say hey, you owe me money and you say no, so it's on me to prove it. If I say you owe me money and you say I'm not sure, so it's not my word versus your word. It's my word versus nothing. I say, that's what we call Bari Veshema. The Motzi has a claim, and the Muchsuk has no counterclaim. So, my time is something. So normally, if I say, you owe me, Chudnoff, you borrowed $1,000 from me yesterday, and Chudnoff says, no, I didn't. That's my word versus his word. I have a taina, and he has a counter taina. Okay, so I'm Motzi Mechaver Raya, I'm the Motzi, I have to prove it. But if I say, you owe me money, and Chudnoff says, I'm not sure, not sure. I am sure. Does that count for something? The Gemara says no. Amotzi Mechaver Olavaraya means even if there's my word versus nothing, my word is not going to save the day. So that's Bari Veshema. That's the Amotzi Mechaver Olavaraya doesn't accept Bari Veshema. And then what's the second case where Amotzi Mechaver Olavaraya is surprisingly affected? You wouldn't have seen it coming, and that's why the second reason why we preface it by saying this is a klal gadol, not just a din. This is big, so big that it even encompasses the case of a bar v'shema bar yadif, a bar v'shema, and number two, so big that it even encompasses the case of rov. Inami l'chihad itma. It maybe had to do with the following situation that the Amoraim discussed. Amot seishar mocher shar l'chader v'nim tzenagchan. I sold you a cow. I sold you an ox. Okay. And then it turns out that it's a liability. You paid me $5,000 for this ox. Why were you paying me money for the ox? Because you thought you would get value out of it. It was going to be useful to you for something, right? Different people buy oxen for different reasons. You might buy, once upon a time, oxen were tractors. Now we have gas-powered tractors. But back in the old days, you use them as work animals. Some countries still use them as work animals. Or you could buy an ox because you're interested in eating it. Or you could buy an ox because you're interested in expanding the mammal collection in your zoo. That Chazal did not have. They did use oxen as tractors. They did not have zoos. Okay, but for some reason or other, you paid me $5,000 because you thought you were going to get value out of my ox. You wanted to buy it. Instead, it turns out, as the Gemara says, it turns out what you thought was an asset is in fact a walking liability. Because you knew you would have to pay for food and you would have to have a place for it to live. You didn't realize, though, that you would have another set of bills, which is that every once in a while, that cow goes, that ox goes berserk and breaks something. And now that you're the owner, you have you're mechubed with paying for the nezek. So, I sold you a shar. It turns out you discover after you buy it that it has an undisclosed flaw. What's the undisclosed mum? That it's prone to being nazik. So now, so you come to business. What's your taina? I want your money back. It's not what I bought. You didn't tell me. I bought a container of milk. It turns out the milk is spoiled. I wasn't looking for cottage cheese. I was looking for milk. You can sell me a container of milk. It turns out it's spoiled, so I want it back. Cottage cheese is supposed to come in a different type of container. So you sold me a shar. Now it turns out you didn't tell me that the shar is prone to being mazik. I'm not interested. I want my money back. So what's it then? Do you get your money back or not? What's it then? Alright, depends who you ask your shayles to. Depends what town you live in. If you live in Rav's town, then the din is yes. Right? Rav Amar, here we are near the Bava and Vav Medal. Rav Ariza Mekachtos. Rav says yes, the Mekachtos. He didn't disclose the fact that's a Nakhon. That's a very significant piece of information. So you sold me a car. You sold me a car. You just didn't tell me that it's missing a couple of hoses and a battery. And the axle is broken. Other than that, it's a car. Just missing a couple of key parts. I want my money back. That's not the item that I bought. That I intended to buy. So Rav says, yeah, mekachtos. And Shmuel says not. So why not? He didn't make a good point. Mekachtos. You didn't tell me about this. So how could this not be a mekachtos? Right? The muskel rishon, if I didn't know, if I hadn't seen the Gemara, you just asked me, what would I have guessed? I would have guessed, yeah, sure, it's a mekachtos. It's a very significant feature that you didn't tell me about. So the Shmuel has to explain why not. So Shmuel does explain. Four lines of the bottom, and vav and alf, vav akama, yachol shi yomar lo, v'shchita mecharti v'loch. The guy is going to say, yeah, I sold you the shor for... Well, if I was selling you a car, I would say I was selling the car for parts. I sold you the equivalent. I sold you the shar l'shita. My assumption was you're going to take this animal, you're going to shecht it, and you're going to eat it. So what do you care what its personality is like? Or do you care whether it's a nakhon or not? You're going to shecht it tomorrow. So it's not going to have a chance to be no gaf. Oh, you decided you want to keep it as a work animal. It's going to live on your farm for 2 years until it's time to be retired. Yeah. But then it's a liability. But I assume you're buying it for to eat as a meat cow, not as a work cow. So the negicha is irrelevant. You thought that the cow's eyes were brown, and turns out they're hazel. So who cares? Well, it might have kavina. So I say, if you're buying it as a meat cow, the negicha is also equally irrelevant. You're going to kill it. You can kill it and shecht it tomorrow. So what does it matter what his history is? That's what Shmuel says. So the Gemara says, what type of machlekes is this? I don't understand. The Gemara says, we don't philosophize. Chachmei Torah don't philosophize over Matthias. We figure out the Matthias. Gemara says, amai, what type of machlekes is this? Let's take a look. He gavra dezavra l'ridya, he gavra dezavra nechzisa. Why are we arguing over whether it was sold l'shchita or l'avoda, l'charisha? Let's figure it out. You, Chudnov was bought the ox for me, so let's find out. What type of business? Is he a butcher or is he a farmer? If he's a butcher, so then it's understood that he bought l'shchita. If he's a farmer and he has a lot of fields that need to be plowed, so it's clear that he bought it l'charisha. So what we philosophize, machloim machloik is Rav and Shmuel. Depends on the case. So the Gemara says, he's a farmer with a broad-based farming business. He grows wheat and barley. He grows plants, so he needs cow. He needs oxen to do work, and he also sells meat. He does both. So Gemara says, okay. So if we can figure out based on his profession, maybe there's another clue, another piece of evidence we can get our hands on. Well, let's see what the purchase price was. Which one is usually more expensive? Working, right? I'm going to use it for, I'm getting 2 years, however many number of months, years worth of value out of it. So the Gemara said, did he pay $5,000 or $2,000? Or whatever the price differential is going to be a significant price differential. So why can't we figure out, it was clear to both of them, b'shas mechi, b'shas hakinyan, what the intent was. Gemara says, you're right, normally you could, but l'tzricha da'ok your b'shav v'kai b'dmei ridya. It's a bizarre sort of economic bubble. There was before the dot-coms, there was the beef bubble. And there was a moment in time when the market on beef went through the roof, and meat was so expensive that buying a cow le nechsasa to be shechted was as expensive as buying a work cow. Okay. Normally, it's not going to be the case. Okay, so normally it's not machlokes because I can figure out what the facts of the case are. But in an unusual situation where it's indistinguishable, or if it's not a cow, some other type of item. But in the example that the Amoraim are arguing about, we're talking about a case where in a Hanami, there is no direct evidence. If we could tell, we could tell. But if we can't tell, if it's a suffix, so then they're arguing. So then they're arguing. Then the Gemara pushes weiter. I think our push is weiter. Well, another sort of end run around it. Well, why can't he just, if he didn't pay yet, so why can't he just say, I'll pay you with the cow? Okay, well, but if you already paid, so that's not going to help. So Gemara says, Lamaisa. Okay, so we have to figure out what the case is, but we're talking about a case where this is relevant, where you really can't tell, it's not obvious which was the kavana. And there's no easy way to make an end run around it. And it's really a shaila. Basically, really has to bite the bullet and decide in mekachtos, not mekachtos. Oh. So the Gemara says, what's the issue? So Rav Amar here in the fourth line, hareze mekachtos, zil basaruba, veruba de inshi lerid yahu dezavni. Why did Rav say mekachtos? Because most people buy cows for work. This is obviously no longer true, but Kufas Hatan Amoraim, when there were many, a high percentage of the population was farmers, and B, they didn't have gas powered tractors, so most oxen that were being bought and sold were being bought and sold for work purposes. And meat was expensive, eating meat was a treat. So, and working the field was with an ox was a very common thing. So most ox transactions are about farm work. So the rove is that Laridia. And Shmuel says, Yach Shalom, Yomalo, Shchita, Mecharti Vlach, V'lo azlinan basa ruba. Shmuel says, it's true. It's true that 80% of oxen sold are sold for the purpose of work, let's say, and make up numbers, and only 20% are sold for meat. That might be true, says Shmuel, but I agree with Rav's Metzias. I don't agree with his application of it l'halacha. But Shmuel says, I think it is, it sure is such a row, but here it's irrelevant. Either the rule of row, what do you mean, law is lean basruba? Shmuel doesn't hold it the sugya that we spend time on, the chulun daf yud aleph, and all over the rest of Shas are all doing it. But he holds the row, the key of lean basruba, the isura, abu the mamona, law is lean basruba, ela hamotzi, mechadero, all of the rat. Shmuel says, yeah, if I did the principle of row, that's in the world of Isur v'Heter. Halacha is divided into a couple of different overall fields. Now, we know that it's Helfa Tzitzis, Helfa Tzvillin, Helfa Shabbos Aveda. We can subdivide Halacha into many little fields. If you look in big picture, we can divide all of Halacha into two or three major fields. Isur v'Heter, Dini Mamonos, and the Gaon suggests the third major category is Tumah v'Tahara. Isur v'Heter, Dini Mamonos, Isura and Mimona, as the Gemara calls them here in Aramaic, correspond loosely to Ben Adam, Mamako, and Ben Adam Lachaber. Maybe not exactly, but more or less. Right? So in the world of Kashrus and Shabbos, and so on and so forth, and Mezuzah, and Yichud Beis, Mitzvahs Isurim, what the Gemara calls Isura, what Hebrew we call Isur v'Heter, the world of Isur v'Heter, we have Rov. So think about all the cases of Rov that we had when we were going through the Sugyas of Rov. We're talking about Trefa, we're talking about bringing Karbanos, and we're talking about is what are we talking? Almost all of the cases we spoke about were the world of Isra. So Shmuel says, yeah, in Isra Vahedra there's a principle of Rosh. But by Mamanus, Hamotzi Mechaber al Haraya, it's very nice, I have a robe that you owe me money, but you are the Muxa. I'm the Motzi, you're the Muxa, so you win, even though I have a robe. So that was a long sentence. Let's there's a lot going on in the Amud Gor just took a look at. But let's pull together. Let's focus for now. There are a lot of things that come out of this matter, but so the overall shock of Ataria was, remember, we're both trying to answer a question. A question in terms of the language of an Amora, who was recording what the Tadam said. What was the problem in Lashon? And what's the Gemara's text? Can't lose track of the forest for the trees. Yeah, keep.
Says why it mentions that, like it seems so important.
Right. And the answer is, two answers.
Well, the first was that he's being drunk or so.
Right, Bar even, correct? Even when there's a Bar Hashem, even when the Mazik has a title, the Motzi says, you owe me money. I know you owe me money. And the other guy says, I'm not sure whether I owe you money or not. So at least in principle, Tosis points out there are parameters to that. And when it's reasonable that you wouldn't know, I wasn't there. I didn't see what my shard did. You claim that my shard did damage. I don't know, maybe. So if not, it doesn't sound funny. It's not fishy that you don't know. But on my side, you don't have any counterclaim. I said, Bar Hashama, we still say Motzi Mechaber al Haraya. Good. So the Motzi can't win just through his Taina. And what was the other, and the second answer is?
The other is that, even if we have another concept that would seem to be another guy from right, we still
can buy it. Good. Another concept. Specifically, what concept? Rove. Right? We don't accept Rove. Does everyone of you don't accept Rove?
No.
No. Only Rove's not wrong. So why were we saying Zed Kal Gal Bedin? That we don't accept Rove, because, obvious answer,
it was Shmuel
who said it. And you look back in the Bab Rav, there was Amr Yehuda Amr Shmuel, that this is the Rishimchus, but Chava Omrim Zed Kal Gal Bedin. So it's hard to know whether he heard that language Zed Kal Gal Bedin, that's part of his Masor of what the Tadam said, and that's what inspired him to the Shita, or this is his own formulation. He's presenting the Chachamim as Zakal Gabbadin. So it's hard to know which came first, which came second, but it's certainly the Lashitasa going on here. I said that Shmuel presents Zakal Gabbadin, and that is Shmuel Lashitasa, that has the stronger version of Hamotzi Mechavero al Harai. The Hamotzi Mechavero is even the Muchzak wins even the face of a Rove. The Muchzak wins even the face of a Tainas Bari. Not responded to a Tainas Bari. Bari Veshama. Wow. So that shot is that called Gadol B'Din. Gevald. Right? Good. Very good. And then the Gemara goes on to say what? And then, there's a lot more to say about this Gemara, but for now, let's put this in the context. There's a lot to say about Sumchas, and a lot to say about this question of whether or not we accept roves. It's not clear that we never... If you start thinking, you can think of a couple of cases where we do use a rove to imotinon. Okay? But at least, in principle, that's what the Gemara tells us. And now you think about the next piece of Gemara. And this is what we began to talk about a drop at the end of yesterday morning. For the next piece of Gemara, the Gemara says, hey, Amar Shmuel ba Nachmani. But first, the Gemara quotes a Braisa that supports what Shmuel said, that the Mishnah is not the Kuyama, Mishnah is only Simchas. Chachamim say, Hamotim Echarei Al-Varai. Gevald. And now the Gemara says, you know, we're talking so much about Motzim Chalei Al-Varai, such a powerful concept. Minai L'Motzim Chalei Al-Varai. Where does this come from? And so what does the Gemara say? Well, Mi Bal Dvarim Yigash Aleihem. So this is that Moshe Ben is going to go up to Har Sinai. It says, I'm leaving, I believe it's Aaron and Hur. They're going to be in charge. If you have an issue, you come to them. Mi Bal Dvarim, if you have an issue or something to talk about, Yigash Aleihem, you'll come to them. Moshe Rabbeinu is not going to be here temporarily. So what does that have to do with the Motzim Lechel Arai? Because we darshin, Yigash is not just to come, but Yagish, to bring. Yagish Rai Alem. You have something to say, you have to bring it. You have to bring the evidence. If you're the Baal Dvar, you're the Motzi, I'm the Muchzuk. You say I owe you money. So, I'm not a Baal Dvar. I'm a Baal Oman. I have my stuff. I'm not complaining. You're lodging a complaint? That's fine. You might be right. You might not be right. If you're the one who's lodging the complaint, you're the Baal Dvar, you're the Motzi, so you're the one who needs to bring evidence to Beis Din. Yagish Raya Aleya. And then, as you saw, the Gemara says, what do you mean, Lamali Krasvaro? Who needs a Pasik is such a Gevaldik Svaro? I need a Pasik to tell him what's a Mechel Raya. I can figure out my own. My Dekav Lakeva, Asa Be'asya. If I have a headache, I go to the doctor. I mentioned some of you guys yesterday, right? This is Akasha. Gemara Svara assumes not like the stereotypical Jewish mother's line, I'm cold, put on a sweater. Right? If I'm cold, I should put on a sweater. Now, if I'm cold, I might extrapolate, you're probably cold too, and therefore we should both put on a sweater. Okay. But Mandakarle Ke'eva Azabayasya, I have profound respect for Jewish mothers. For Jewish motherhood. But Lamaisa, if I have an issue and you don't have an issue, say, of course I'm the one who needs to take care of it. How much of my advice is Sarab Shuta? You guys, I say that if I think that Ezra owes me money, so it's his business to prove me wrong. Guilty to prove innocent? This is not a criminal proceeding. We're here to talk about a civil situation. The Gemara says, dark question, of course. If I claim that Ezra owes me money, I'm the one who has to do the legwork. If I'll bring valid proof, then Beis Din will award me the money. But the default situation, until proof is brought, of course Ezra wins. It's my issue. So I have to take care of it. The Gemara says, who needs the pasuk? The Gemara says, no, you're right. Really, what do we need the pasuk for? What do we need the pasuk for? Some unrelated halacha. An unrelated halacha is important to clarify. I know some guys were getting caught up in this yesterday. The Gemara said, the Gemara is about to introduce to us has nothing to do with Hamotze Mechaveru Olam Harayim. It's an alternative. It's a technical rule about Bayesian procedure. Which case do you take first? The way Rashi understands it, I'm suing Wolf for $10,000. He hired me. to do construction work, and then he never paid me back. So Wolf says, well, Cohen, you know, you backed your tractor into my SUV, so you owe me $10,000. So now I'm suing him, and then he sues me back, a countersuit. That's how Rashi reads this next Gemara. Then there's whose claim gets heard first? If I'm the one who made the first claim, we'll take my claim first. Yeah, that's what we learned from the Pasuk. Mi bal dvar, mi gashalim, the one who came with the dvarim first, I have to figure exactly how that reads into the Pasuk, but you're the Toveya, you go first. It could be said even simpler than Rashi. A single case. I'm suing Finkelstein. I say Finkelstein owes me $10,000. He wanted to convert his tobacco plantation to something more health conscious. So I did the work for him. And then I claim he never paid me. And he says, no, he did pay me. Right? So who gets to talk first in Beis Din? That's how some read the Gemara. Who gets to talk first in Beis Din? Me. Right? I'm the Toveya. Then you get to respond. Okay. Sure. So again, nothing to do with Hamad, just to clarify, very important, just Pashat. Nothing to do with Hamad Mechaver El Haraya. The only relation with Hamad Mechaver El Haraya and his Kakon Toveya Tchila is that the first din we tried to learn from the Pasuk about Dvar Mikash Aleim, and then when that became unnecessary, we learned the second din from that same Pasuk. But the two dinim have no conceptual connection. Niskak Toveya Tchila is not an application of Hamotze Mechavel Haraya, just to make that very clear. Okay. Ad Kan Diragmar. He says, okay, very nice, beautiful. Beginning of the fifth paragraph above a comma. Very nice. We learned about a couple important topics, certainly. Hamotze Mechavel Haraya, Chulkin, and Rove, Holchomanacharov, came across the idea of Bari Veshema. I got a lot very quickly. A lot of these things could be unpacked a lot. Right? And then Apostle, good. Apostle Kasar, all very nice. What's the problem that we started talking about yesterday? The famous Tosfos in Shavuos, made famous by the Masoros HaShas. Not just here. This Tosfos gets quoted with some regularity whenever you come across Lamali Kras Svarahu or Ibaisei Makra, Ibaisei Masara. What was that Tosfos in Shavuos saying? It came clear yesterday during Morning Seder that it was not 100% clear, everyone. Tosfos is asking a very sharp question. They're not just talking. They're asking an incredibly sharp question. A multi-Gemara stira. You have a pasuk and you have a svara. Is that good or is that not good? Are we comfortable with having both? Usually you have two sukkim, two drushas for the same din. That doesn't sit well with us, right? Because one of them is superfluous. All I needed was one drusha. Who needs two? How about if I don't have two drushas, but I have a drusha and a svara? I could have figured this out logically, and I also have a drusha. So is that also troubling, superfluous, or no, that's okay? So what does the Gemara tell us? What does the Talmud Bavli hold about that? Are we okay with a drasha and a smart for the same din, or is that superfluous? What does the Talmud Bavli hold? Depends, hard to know, right? There are many, many times where usually the Gemara says, what? Usually the Gemara says, what Tosfos is saying? Take a look at Tosfos in Shavuos. Usually the Gemara says, take a look inside Tosfos. Osios Machimos. He says, there the Gemara says, in Shavuos, the Gemara says, Ba'al Seim Makra, Ba'al Seim Asvar. That when a person swears, I will not eat, the fact that that includes a drink as well, The fact that includes a drink as well. So that's Gemara says I have a pasuk for that and I have a svara for it. That's what usually happens. The sofer perikam the kiddushin gabal kol shir shabash chasa. The Gemara amar hachi. Gemara says and in the halachas of peis pasarosh v'chein v'kam v'komos. Many places the Gemara says yeah we have a pasuk, we have a drasha, we have a drasha, and we have a svara, whichever one you like. You prefer the drasha, you prefer the pasuk. It doesn't bother us that we have both. Ibadah same makra, ibadah same asvar. And that's period. No question. The tema. Says 1 second. But sometimes the Gemara asks as a kasha. Came in the kasvar, lam likra, tachi parach beperik bezik subis. The Gemara mesechas subis in second perik says it's not okay. Minay la pesha asar pesha hiter. The Gemara wants to know, how do you know that the second paragraph of Ksubis is one of the central loci in Shas for the discussion of Torah Sasvetus? So the Gemara there has all sorts of different rules and principles in case of Torah Sasvetus. So the Gemara says, let's say normally to know that a get was given, I need two kosher witnesses. Davar she'be'erva requires two. The Mishnah says, but here's an exception. If we know that this couple is married, and then they disappear for a few years, the woman comes back alone and says, "Yeah, I got divorced over the last couple of years." We say, "We need proof." Ah, if the girl left this town single, she was 17 years old, she left town. She comes back 5 years later. She looks whatever, 5 years older. She says, "You should know. You don't know this, but while I was gone, I got married. Unfortunately, the marriage didn't last. I got divorced. So I left single. I'm single now. In between, I was married for a period of time." So the Mishnah says, oh, in that case, she's not married. She's not two kosher witnesses. She's not even one kosher witness. And yet she's not married. So why? Gerish is davar she'be'erva, required to aid them. Required to tell them to say, no. Her mouth is the one that created the ist in the first place. She owns the information. Without her, we wouldn't even know any story whatsoever. She could have just walked, come back to town and said, I was gone for 5 years, now I'm back. Okay, we would have assumed that she's single. We have no reason to believe that she's married. The only reason we know that she's married, that she ever was married, is because she told us. Hapesha asa or hapesha hiter. As if you've heard of Migo, this is related, but probably even stronger. Not for now, in terms of details. Right. We have no information whatsoever without her. The whole story only begins because of her. She, mamish, owns the information, so she is not menace to tweak it. I was married, then I got divorced, she's not menace, you don't need to aid them. So Gemara says, how do you know? Gemara says, I have a pasuk, you say, and the Gemara says, a pasuk, svar pshuta, of course. Lomali kras svarahu, which is exactly what the Gemara asks in Bava Kam and Bava as well. I need a pasuk for Hamotzei Mechavel V'raya. It's so pasha, it's a svara. The Tosfos says, I don't understand. So every once in a while, two, three times in Shas, the Gemara says, lovingly kar svaru, but the vast majority of cases, the Gemara seems to think it's hunky-dory. It's all great to have a pasuk and a svara. It doesn't bother us. So which one is it? Are we okay with having a svara and a drasha, or is that superfluous? That's Tosfos' kasha. Mamash a multi gemara stira, and what's Tosfos' answer? V'yesh l'chalek. They give you part of the answer. You have to fill in the rest on your own. V'yesh l'chalek. V'yesh devarim she'ein asvara pshuta kalkal. Some things sometimes the svara is not so pashut. V'tzarach ha'pasuk l'ashmein asvara. Sometimes I need a pasuk to tell me the svara. In other words, as we began talking about yesterday. Is it superfluous to have a drasha once you have a pasuk, or is it not? It depends how good. Is it superfluous to have a drasha once you have a svara, or not? Depends how good the svara is. Not all svaras are created equal. Most svaras are good, some svaras are great. Because look, many svaras, it's not so posh. In other words, it's a good svara, but you could disagree with it. So it's good, but you could disagree with it, so I need a drasha to back it up. If you want, you can work with a svara, but you may not accept that svara, in which case you have a pasuk that at least provides backup. Right? Or maybe the way Tosfos puts it is that the svara will explain to you what's the nature of the gerus hakasuk. The pasuk teaches me it did, but it's not just a random did, I don't know why. I know what to make of it. I can understand what's the nature of the gerus hakasuk. Look, that's most of the time. Good svara, but not absolutely, utterly self-evident. So you need a pasuk. Pasuk has value as well. And what the part the Tosfos doesn't say, but it's clearly implied, is whereas in the rare cases when the Gemara is bothered, lovingly cross varahu, that's because those are not just good svaras, those are amazing svaras. Watertight svaras. It is pshuta kol kach. It's so self-evident that a pasuk is superfluous. Right? Which leads us to kasha number one here. Which is, so using Tosfos as running Tosfos backwards is that I can tell, I can judge how good the Svara is based on how the Gemara relates to it, whether the Gemara has Sakash or not. Well, here is this, how about the Svara of Amatzah Rav Araya? Is it good or great? Great! Why? Because it's on the Trasvara. It's so great, it's so self-evident. No one can even have a Havmi to ask a question. What do you mean? Not just the Havmina. And Mashmah Chleks is not just, you could have asked a question. Rav rejects half of Amatzah Rav Araya. Is mutav machlekes? So in that pshuta called kach that there's no value to having a pasuk. Bizarre. Very, very strange. Very, very strange. That's problem number one. We only have a couple minutes left. I've got to take questions on the way. Problem number two, which by looking at problem number two, we'll hopefully get insight to problem number one as well. How many people here saw the Rashi and Gittin? Handful. Let's take a brief peek. Gemara Gittin, this is the beginning of the fifth paragraph. We move from the fifth paragraph of Kam to the fifth paragraph of Gittin. Even though it's Maseches Gittin, it happens to be the middle paragraph of Gittin, get into a whole assortment of topics. And the beginning of the fifth paragraph happens to be, actually have a lot of overlap with some of the sukkahs in the first paragraph of Kam. And how you pay that, different types of... different situation if you owe money. How do you pay it back? The Gemara at the bottom makes reference to, oh, we're not sure how much you pay, how you pay, how much you pay. Hamotim et haver v'arai. Bottom of the last two lines of Emchesem Bezim Yud. The Rashi says, remember, this is not Bava Kam. So he says, okay, let me explain. Hamotim et haver v'arai means, Allah v'havi hidin l'varas asaf. You're the motzi, I'm the motzi, you want money from me? It's on you, the burden of proof is on you. You're the one who needs to bring aid. Okay. And then Rashi says, by the way, in case you... He could have just stopped here. Instead he says, oh. Obviously he couldn't. He had a reason for not stopping there, right? But if he would stop there, okay. He explained why Moshe Rabbeinu means. He says, by the way, in case you're wondering where this comes from, let me tell you. Doraisahi. It's important to understand the and it is important to understand the context of the Sugin Gittin. This is a Moshe Rabbeinu is a din daraisa. It comes from a Gemara and Bava Kama. Mi bal dvarim yigash aleihem. Yagish Raya Aleihem. Ah, it comes from a pasuk, by the way. And then Rashi just moves on, like nothing happened. So the Rashash is sort of calm about it. Rashash says, well, you see on the facing page, Rashash on that Gemara, Ayin Sham, if you look up the Gemara of Akam, you'll see the Asik, the Amaram come to the conclusion that through the Zayadinim Isvara, Kriyat Shechel Davar Acher. By the way, what Rashi said is only the Havamin of the Gemara. Now, the Maskana Sagamara comes from a Svara, not from a Drasha. It's hard to know when you read the Rashash, does this bother him or not? Is he just like pointing out, well, by the way, you look at the Gemara, that's only the Havina? Or it's like, Vitzar Rechian? What do you mean? Why did Rashi quote the Havina? He could have quoted the Maskana of the Gemara for the same price. What is he quoting the Gemara's Havina for? Right. And if the Gemara says, Lamin Liklar Svarahu, that means it's a Svara, it also generates a Din Daraisa. So the Rashash is sort of hard to know. His response is very sedate. They're hard to know if he's saying the Torah's kasha or just the Torah's ta'ara. The Pnei Yeshua is very clear that he thinks this is incredibly troubling. What did Rashi quote the Havmina for? The Gemara, that's the Havmina. You know, Rabbi Winevsky was the blind Talmud Chacham who was around the YU campus for many decades. He used to say that he had a chavrusa back in the day when he was a young bacher in Chaim Berlin. He had a chavrusa who was a machmer for all the Havminis and Shas, especially one of the first ones. In the beginning of Brachas, the Gemara is talking about Vidibartabam in the first parasha of Kriyashma, right, which either means Talmud Torah, means saying the mitzvah of saying Kriyashma. The Gemara says Vidibartam Yachal B'dvarim B'teilam. I go to the Havmin, right? His chavrus was very machmer for all the Havminas, especially the Havmin of Vidibar Tabam Vidivar Matalam. Right? Clearly, they call them Havminas for a reason. The Gemara rejected it. It's a bizarre Rashi. So, on the one hand, we don't know how Menvav Amidbeis fits with Menvav Amidalev, and then we're also not sure on the other end, Menvav Beis landed one way, but Rashi and Gittin seems to be reverting back to the beginning. So Mishnei Hatzadim, there's more work that needs to be done on Mem Vav and Beis.